You may be seated. Take your Bible this morning and open it to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, if you would. And Mark, chapter 5. Mark, chapter 5, if you would. If I tell y'all something about, Brother Todd, do you mind if I tell something good on you? Okay. I remember, yeah, this is the only good thing I know about him, but I was thinking when he was leading in prayer during the offering, and I remember when I first talked, I never call on somebody to pray before I ask them, hey, do you mind praying in public, you know, because some people freeze up and they don't, and they're not able to do it, and that's fine. It's not a problem, and have no trouble. And I always ask, and so I remember the first time I asked Brother Todd about that, and he said, yeah, okay, as long as I don't have any warning, it's all right, because if I have warning, I'm going to sweat it. You remember telling me that? Okay. And I couldn't help but think about it this morning. I warned him, okay? And but, you know, you do grow a little bit over time, and that's a blessing, right? So I thank the Lord for that. That's real good. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject. The title is Conversation at Christmas. Conversation at Christmas. Now, when we read this, what we're fixing to read in the Bible, you're going to go, huh? Because you're going to say, what in the world happened to our preacher this week? He's lost his mind. Pretty much I have, but that was a long time ago, okay? So, but I honestly, this week as I was getting ready and thinking and asking the Lord what he would have me to preach, I thought, you know, that the Christmas story is told in Luke, is probably the most well-known account of it, and it's also in Matthew. But you know, I've been preaching for 50 years. There's only so many Christmas messages that I can come up with, okay? And so I said, Lord, is there anything in Mark to do with Christmas? And I began to read, and I was going through and looking, and I got to chapter 5, and the Lord just began to impress on me. Now, once again, when we read this passage, you're going to say, where in the world are we going, all right? Because this is something that normally it's not there, all right? But we're going to look at the story and the account of the maniac of Gadara, all right? And I want to preach to you on the subject of conversation at Christmas, all right? So let's look and see, all right? Verse 1, and they came over unto the country, other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he's come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, I'll confess to you, this has been one of my favorite Bible stories ever since I was a kid. It was a favorite then. I still enjoy and love this account in the Bible. Now, as an adult, I will tell you, I hate to think about all the ribs and sausage going to waste, okay? But it doesn't matter, all right? In that vein, I do. But today, I just want to, I told you I want to speak to you on the subject of conversation at Christmas. Now, you may wonder how we can do it, but just stay with me. And I'm going to do my best to encourage you a little bit during this holiday season, all right? So stay with me here. First of all, I want you to look at the reaction of the participants in this account. The devils were afraid of Jesus. They were afraid of Jesus. By the way, they knew him. They knew him. They recognized him, and they were afraid of him because they knew of his great power. Notice the swine feeders. When the spirits left this maniac and went into the swine, they ran down in the sea. They took off. They fled. I can imagine the swine owners were very upset. On the other hand, the spectators that saw it and heard about it were absolutely amazed. But the maniac was forever changed. Forever changed. Now, considering that, I want to ask you, who do you identify with in this account? Surely not the devils, okay? Surely you don't identify with them, you know? And then to side with the swine owners would put you in opposition to the Savior, all right? Because they're the ones that came and said, Lord, would you just leave? Just leave. So I hope you don't do that. Hopefully, you have no reason to fear the Lord, as many people did here, all right? Now, I do admit to being repeatedly amazed at what Jesus does. Just repeatedly amazed at what he does. Not what he did, but what he's still doing. Just amazes me. But I hope today, that you don't identify with that crowd. Now, I'll be honest with you, I identify the most with the maniac. I identify the most with the maniac. Now, that's not because I'm crazy, but I too was forever changed by Jesus Christ. Forever changed by him. Therefore, I identify with that maniac. So I put myself in his position and I look at him. Now, would you not have done what he did? Would you not have asked what he asked the Lord to do? Notice what he said there, all right? In verse 18, when he was come to the ship, that's the Lord, when he got to the ship, the fellow there, all right, that had been possessed with the devil, the maniac, prayed him that he might be with him. That maniac of Gadara just begged the Lord Jesus Christ, let me go with you. Just let me go with you. I want to be with you. Boy, and I identify with that. I can see that. And since the Lord made the difference in my life, I wanted to be with him. Now, not perfectly, not all the way, not every day. Now, there's been times just like you. But man, ever since then, he changed my life. I don't want to ever be in life again without him. I don't ever want to be rowing my boat my direction without him leading the way, okay? And I just don't want to do that. So I understand why he would say to the Lord Jesus Christ, now we don't know how long he had spent in this demented and bedeviled condition. But man, things are different now. And I look at him and I think, here's a guy that says, I want to be with you, Lord. I can identify with that, but I want you to notice what the Lord Jesus said. He said no. He said no. Instead, our Lord had some other instruction for him. Our Lord laid down some things for him and said, here's what I want you to do. And that's what I want you to see. First of all, in verse 19, he saith unto him, go home. Go home. Just go home. Man, we've all heard it said, there's no place like home. And man, I do. That can be true. But on the other hand, there's a lot of people, maybe there's numerous people that your home life wasn't what mine was. You know, my home life was wonderful. I was blessed with godly parents. I was blessed with parents that cared about me. And you may have had parents that really cared about you, even if they weren't godly, might not even been saved, but they cared about you, they provided for you, and you've got good experiences at home. Maybe some of you don't, but the truth of the matter is home is a wonderful place. It's a marvelous place to be, all right? And it's honestly where most people want to be at Christmas, right? That's where most people want to be at Christmas. We want to be at home. I don't really have any great desire to be somewhere else. I don't have any desire to be on the ski slopes at Christmas, even if I could ski, all right? That's not what I'd want to be doing. I'd like to be down on the balmy, you know, maybe out in the South Pacific someplace, Bora Bora, under a grass-thatched roof house, you know, there, and my feet hanging in a hammock and just swing. Not me. I don't want to be there at Christmas. I want to be home. I want to be home. That's where I want to be. Well, that's where the Lord Jesus Christ told this changed man, he said, you go home. You go home. Now, notice then what he said to him, all right? He said to him, go home, notice, to thy friends. To thy friends. The Lord knew this man had some friends. Even after spending all this time that he had running around through the tombs, out of his mind because of demon possession, the Lord said, you still got some friends. You still got some friends. And I want you to go home. Now I want you to go see your friends. That is exactly where I want you to go. He wanted that changed man to go show those friends the change that had occurred in him. He said, take yourself and go home. Go to your friends. Go to your friends. You get with them. Be with them, all right? If possible, we like to be with friends and family at Christmas, don't you? Don't you? Man, listen, if you don't have anywhere to go at Christmas and you're going to be by yourself, come to my house. Now, would you go ahead and warn my wife that I invited you, okay? But you say, you mean it? Yeah, come on. We don't mind. We don't mind. We'd love it. I mean, just be fine with me. I don't want you to be. And by the way, if you come to my house, you'll be among friends. You'll be among friends, okay? And you'd be welcome. It's a good place to be among family. I like to get together with family and friends. And family and friends, they ought to be important. They ought to be important. You ought to care about friends. You ought to care about friends. There's two teenage girls up here on front, well, almost teenagers. You haven't hit 13 yet, have you, Sarah? All right, but you're right on the verge. Yeah, right there, almost. All right, they're right here. And oftentimes teenage girls, and I'm not accusing them, but oftentimes teenage girls have a hard time with friends because they can't have too many. They can't have too many. A lot of them can only have one. And you try to squeeze another one in there, you like them more than you do me. Well, just forget it. If you can't be their friend and my friend too, man, I don't understand that kind of thinking. I always wanted all the friends I could get. I always wanted all the friends I could get. I don't on purpose make people mad. As a preacher, I don't get up here. I don't plan during the week. Who can I make mad preaching this Sunday? I don't plan it that way. I don't want to. Not here to make you mad, not here to upset you, but I want to preach some truth to you. And friends are a wonderful thing. They're important to us. I think family ought to be important to you. My family is important to me. I'm like you probably. I've got some family members, kind of distant family. We get along better at a distance. The more distance, the better we get along, all right? I mean, there's family like that, okay? But I can put up with them just for a little bit of time if necessary, you know? And Family's a good thing. The Lord told this maniac, he said, now listen, I want you to go home and I'm going to go to your friends. But now here's, all right, that's not the end of his words to this changed man. He was to go back as a man on a mission. All right? And honestly, here's the message. Here's the message. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast, we'll get out early. All right? But don't expect that on a regular basis. Okay? But just stay with me, okay? Here we go. I want you to notice what he said. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19 again. He said, you go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Hey, here's the message. Here's the message. I said I'm going to preach to you on conversation at Christmas. That ought to be our conversation at Christmas. We ought to be telling somebody how great things God's done for us. We ought to just be telling them, hey, I want to tell you the great thing. Now, well, listen, there's nothing wrong with talking about football. I'm not against football. I spent hours and hours yesterday over at the Cowboys Stadium, my son and I. We sat through 2.5 high school games, had a great time, enjoyed ourselves, you know, and tried to keep it quiet so we could both have a little voice left, you know, and he could lead to singing and I could preach this morning, but had a great time. We like to talk football, okay? I'm not against you talking football, it's okay. Hey, Christmas time, not against you talking food. We talk about food at Christmas. Maybe, you know, everybody has something different maybe at Christmas, and you maybe have a tradition. Some people traditionally have something different every Christmas, all right? But we talk about food, all right? We converse about that. We talk about family. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against it. But, my friend, we absolutely must tell of the great things our Lord has done. We have to. We talk about it being our Lord's birthday. Man, you think about the great things he's done for you. For you. Look, he sent his son to this earth for you. For you, all right? Don't forget that, all right? The story of Christmas is not the story about a baby born in a stable, but it is of a Savior who was sent to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the story, all right? It's the gift of God. God gave his son. That's the story, all right? That's it, all right? He came. He left heaven. He became a man so he could be the mediator between God and man. That's the story. And we're to talk about that. We're to talk about that. We get together, you know. Can you imagine getting together at somebody's house? We'll pick somebody. Does anybody have a birthday in December? Anybody here, you got a birthday in December? All right. Rhonda, you got a birthday in December. Ms. McNabb got a birthday in December. Can you all imagine gathering together? Well, we were invited over to Ms. McNabb's house on her birthday, and we went down there, and guess what we did? We sang happy birthday to her. We did. We sang happy birthday to her. We didn't go in. We didn't go in there and say, hey, what you got to eat? We were looking for something to eat, but that wasn't the question, okay? We didn't go in there and say, what's to eat, all right? We didn't go in there and ignore Mrs. McNabb as if she did not exist. We talked about her, her birthday. How in the world can we celebrate Christmas as Christians and he not be the subject of conversation at some point? There ought to be some time set aside that you could just tell of what great things he's done for you. Just testify of it. Just testify about it. Man, the great thing. You ever stop and think about this year? This year in your life? What's it been? Some of you have been sick this year. Come through sickness, trouble. Had some problems. But hey, has God not done something great for you? God not done. I was thinking about this. I'll tell you, one of the first things come to my mind was my granddaughter falling down those stairs. Hey, God did great things. She's okay. She's okay. She rolled all the way down those wooden stairs. I asked my daughter, I said, did she all the way? She said, all the way to the bottom, Dad. But God did great things. God did great things. Hey, man, you just stop and think about it. We ought to be able to tell the great things God has done for us. Hey, he purchased our salvation yonder on Calvary. That's what he went to the cross, not so we would have songs to sing it at the cross, okay? No, he went to that cross, and that beating, that mockery, that brutality, that blood was for you. For you. He went to Calvary. He's done some great things. He's forgiven you of your sin. If you're here this morning and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you do understand that you'll never have to give account for those sins. Never. Now, that's hard for us to grasp. And I even hear Christians talk about, well, I know I'm going to have a lot of explaining to do at the judgment, but not about your sin. Not about your sin. Your sin's hid. It's under the blood. It's under the blood. And I'll be honest with you, that's a hard thing for me to get a hold of. You say, well, preacher, yeah, but man, since I got saved, wait a minute, every sin that Jesus Christ died for, every sin you've committed, they were all in the future when he died. They're all forgiven. What a blessed thing it is to know he does not see us as a sinner anymore. He sees us as his son. As his son. And that's the way he sees us. Completely forgiven. Hey, if you're born again, it's because of the great thing he did for you. Man, hallelujah. Let's just talk about that just a little bit, all right? Let's just talk about that a little bit, all right? Just be willing to sit down and tell about, hey, man, I'm so glad God saved me. Hey, by the way, it's not necessarily you got to wait till the family's together to talk about that. Hey, when you're standing down there, don't go through the self-checkout at Walmart. Go through where there's a human being. And they'll ask you, well, how's your day going? What an opening. Hey, man, I'm telling you, all of my days are set. They're all going to be good because there's a Savior that died for me and I trusted him. And he's done some great things for me. Boy, have you ever thought about that? You got a chance to tell him, he changed my life. He changed my life. We have an opportunity. Hey, Christmas, you know what? People are used, they think about Jesus. Now, they may not think much, but that's our opening to tell people, hey, here's the conversation. Let me tell you what great things he's done for me. What a blessing. And notice that last part. He said, and had compassion. You see that? Had compassion on him. Oh, did he not forevermore have compassion on us? Did he not do it? We deserve absolutely nothing that he's done for us. Not a thing. Not a thing. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get to thinking a little bit too much of ourselves. We get to looking in the mirror and thinking, what a great person we are. Listen, we don't deserve anything God's done. If God took his hand of blessing off of my life right now, I got no reason to complain. No reason to complain. Man, he's been good. He has been so good to me, all right? Man, we ought to be telling friends and family, or at least reminding them of all the great things God's done. You know, I can't help but think, go back there and look again at verse 19. Go home. Go home. Why home? Hey, you hear me? Home is the most difficult place to witness. The most difficult people to witness to is your family. Most difficult people you ever have to witness to. You can go up and knock on the door of a perfect stranger and try to give them a track and try to engage them in conversation. You say, I'd be petrified. Yeah, you might be, but it's easier to do that oftentimes than it is to talk to your own family. Just talk to your own family. It is. I mean, it's almost, I remember Brother Jesse West. Brother West now pastors the West Side Baptist Church in Durant, Oklahoma, and I can remember when he got saved, and he began to grow in grace and grow in the Lord, and then he was called to preach, and he surrendered to preach, and I remember the reaction of some of his family members. Some of them really gave it to him. It was almost like, oh, sure, right, you a preacher? Why? Hard to witness, hard to deal with your family. Part of the reason is because they know you so well. They know you so well. Boy, hey, can I say this? You talk about compassion. Were it not for him, you and me, if it wasn't for what Jesus did for us, you and I might still be running around naked through the tombs. We'd be in trouble. But compassion. Compassion. Didn't deserve it. He just gave it to us. Gave it to us. Now listen to me. The world has pretty much forgotten Christ at Christmas. He's forgotten. It's all about Santa Claus. It's all about stuff. You know, how much stuff can you get, right? And how much stuff can you give? Listen, all of that. The sad thing is many Christians are in very big danger of doing the same thing and leaving him out at Christmas. We leave him out. Now, I'm not here to castigate you. I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. I'm not here to chew you out. I believe, you know, one of the great things you can do, I'm just going to say it again. I've said it several times. Next Sunday, Christmas dinner can wait until after church. Why? Just a testimony. Just a testimony. You say, it was hard to talk to your family. You know what? It's a good opening. Said, how come you're so late getting here? Well, we went to church this morning. We are saved, you know. God's done great things for us, and we thought it'd just be a good thing, since it is his birthday, if we just showed up at church, you know. We'd celebrate his birthday at his house. Right? Right? You remember when they used to give Christmas parties for a person at their own house? Now we go somewhere else. I don't understand that. I thought it'd be a good idea to celebrate his birthday in here. I'd give you the perfect opening. Give you the perfect opening. Say, well, we want you to come over and we're having Christmas dinner. Great, we'll be. What time? We're going to start at 11. Okay, I can't make it then, but I'll be there as quick as I can. Well, how come you can't be there? Well, I'm going to church. Hey, listen, now, all of this message this morning is not an advertisement for next Sunday. But would you just stay with me a little bit? Don't you think we ought to be telling people about him? He died for us. He's done great things. Done great things. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. Did you see that? Now they ran, but they told it. They told it. Drop down, if you will, in verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed. They that saw it told it. They that fled told it. Hey, go with me to back Luke chapter 2. And we're just going to have to look just a little bit to find the verse I'm looking for, because I don't have it written in my notes. Luke chapter 2, okay? Luke chapter 2, if you will, all right? Look, if you will, we'll start reading at verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All right. Go down to verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. They is the shepherds. You with me? The shepherds, verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they went home, kept their mouth shut. Oh, no, that's not what it says. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad a saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it. Why? Because somebody told it. Somebody had to tell. Can I just say it to you, okay? He's done great things for me. He's done great things for you. Don't you think we ought to tell it? The maniac said, Lord, please, 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 let me go with you. And Jesus said, no, I got other plans. You go home. You go home. And you go to your family. You go to your friends. And you tell them how great things God, the Lord, hath done for thee and hath had compassion on you. Look at verse 20. It's back in Mark chapter 5. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. Folks, can I say to you, that's God's plan. That's it right there in a nutshell. That's God's plan. God's plan is that, hey, I've done something for you. Now you go tell somebody. There's a quartet song from probably 40 years ago that says, go and tell somebody what the Lord can do. Go and tell somebody what he's done for you. How he gave you victory, how he brought you through. Go and tell somebody what the Lord can do. Lord done great things for you. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's okay to talk about gifts. It is. I'm not against that. It's okay to talk about football. It's okay to talk about family. It's okay to talk about food. But could we not talk about him just a little bit? Could we not just tell somebody about him? Has he not done great things for you? Great things for you. Oh, I'm so glad what he's done for me. But who are you telling? Who are you telling? Would you stand, please, this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed? Told you we'd get through early. We are. Hey, what's he done for you? Who have you told? Who are you planning to tell? Don't you think you ought to tell somebody? Don't you think you ought to tell somebody what he's done for you? Our Heavenly Father, would you just help us today? Lord, I realize this is a very unusual message. And Lord, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to walk out of here and say, oh yeah, it's kind of good, but and forget it. Lord, please don't let us do that. That old maniac of Gadara, we've got nothing on him. We were just as lost as he was when you reached down and saved our soul. We were just as afflicted as he was. We were just as crazy as he was. But dear God, you saved us. You forgave us. Lord, would you just encourage us that we would also tell somebody. We'd go home, tell our friends. But Lord, we'd go everywhere. Just tell everybody how great things you've done for us. Help us this morning, I pray.